At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
So we bring in General Keith Kellogg, great friend, retired Army Lieutenant General, former National Security Advisor to Vice President Pence and President Trump. And he's currently the AFPI, American First Policy Institute, co-chair of the Center for American Security. And by the by, we love to sell books. He's the author of War by Other Means, A General in the White House. I knew this general in the White House very well. How are you, Keith Kellogg?
Hi, Larry. Larry, thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. How are you doing? How's your hip, doing, by the way? How's that hip?
It's doing great. And, you know, I had a very wise person in the White House tell me to get it done. And he said to me in very somewhat profane terms to go get it done. That guy's name was Larry Kudlow. Because I was so scared about getting the thing and being out of action. And, you know, Larry, that was the best advice, candidly, you've ever given me. And it worked great. I feel super.
So, Keith, let's turn to the Ukraine story. Russia dug in. I had General Keane on the TV show last night, and basically his assessment was a little bit pessimistic, particularly for him. Russia dug in the east, taking some additional territory. Keith, what I'm asking you now is, are we going to provide enough artillery and rockets and so forth? Will it get there soon enough, in your judgment? How do you assess this whole situation 100 days into the war?
Yeah, Larry, that's a great question. And it's a question that nobody has asked, really, except somebody like you. Because what you've seen is a war change in the last 100 days. It's gone from early on when the Ukrainians were very well around Kyiv and Kharkiv. And now it's into what's called an attrition fight in the east near Donbass, where the Russians have done what they do very well, and they are very good in an artillery fight. And, of course, you heard that the president said, well, we've given them some missile systems, the multiple long-range rocket systems, which will give equivalence to what the Russians have. But, Larry, here's the thing. There's a lot of symbolism there, but there's not significance there. Let me tell you what I'm talking about, and I think Americans need to catch on to this. We have basically said we're going to give the Ukrainians four, that's F-O-U-R, four HIMARS MLRS systems, which are very good, but those HIMARS systems are what I call the junior varsity of the MLRS. The big brother is what's called the M270 system, and I don't want to get into technology, but all those four systems gives you is basically a platoon of artillery. When we have prepared in NATO a battalion and a brigade of artillery of MLRS. And I don't want to get into the real technical details because it'll confuse people, but I'll break it down to you really simple. A HIMARS carries 12 rocket systems, where the M270 carries 12. So it's simple math. The HIMARS systems we give him in one volley is 24 rockets. Well, if you had a very similar system, the M270 is 48. The reason why that's important, Larry, and it's important for people to understand, is when we created the MLRS system, we created that with a thing called a Salt Breaker, which was designed to fight the Soviets and the Warsaw Pact and would break their back. That's what they really need in great volume and great numbers. They don't need four systems. They need 40 systems like this to make it work. So it's really a lot of symbolism. Oh, we gave them MLRS. Really, you didn't. And the reason why they need it is the MLRS gives the Ukrainians three things they don't have. It gives them a range advantage over the Russians. It gives them an advantage of sheer volume of fire and precision, because each one of them is tipped with a precision GPS system on it. So they can basically go toe-to-toe with the Russians. Right now, they're losing that fight because of Russian artillery. So, I mean, I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but I am not convinced the Ukrainians right now can win that fight unless we significantly match up. Now, we've given them $50 billion. By God, I don't know why we don't give them the system they need to win that fight. Now, here's why I don't think they are, Larry. I think the President Biden is afraid of what he calls escalation. Well, my God, the Russians are the one who escalated this fight. And I think you need to give them the chance to win this fight. not something that is very symbolic, with four systems, Larry. That's like giving somebody who's a homeless person 25 cents on the street and say, go buy a good lunch. It's not going to work.
You know, I got to tell you, Keith, that's very similar to what Jack Keane said, General Keane said last night on the show. Very similar. Translate that into the Russian position. As I listen to this, we haven't given them the best artillery systems. We haven't given them enough of it. So therefore, the advantages to Russia in eastern Ukraine, how much territory? I mean, what are the risks here? Zelensky said they have 20% of Ukraine. What are the risks here of a kind of, I'll call it a Russian comeback, if you will?
Well, the risks are quite high because the Russians, frankly, were pretty bad in what they were doing. They violated about every principle of war in their initial assaults, but they've fallen back on what Russians have traditionally been good at. It goes back to the Soviet days, goes back to World War II. The one thing they are really good at is artillery fires. And artillery fires kills a lot of people. And it pushes the Ukrainians in a very bad defensive position. So the point is, unless you can equate their artillery systems, and I'm trying to keep it relatively understandable, unless you can go toe-to-toe with the Russians and give the Ukrainians a will to fight back, you're eventually going to lose this fight because numbers do count. There's a quality of numbers all its own, and the Russians bring the quality of artillery to bear. So what will happen is if it pushes the Ukrainians out of the positions they're currently at in the Donbass, the next tell to me of the Russians is, do they go towards Odessa? Do they go towards the south in the Kherson area? And do they try to make Ukraine a landlocked country and take their final port, which is Odessa? That's the real tell.
Is Biden writes this op-ed in the New York Times, and there's some good rhetoric in this, but basically, does the Biden policy want to force a ceasefire and a deal? In other words, they're giving the Ukraine some, but they're not giving the Ukraine enough. Biden says it's up to the Ukrainians to deal with, how much territory they want to keep and how much territory they give up. I mean, are we going to force a partition of Ukraine? Is that where this is leading?
Yeah, I do, Larry. I think you're right. I don't know if a lot of people picked up on that. By not giving them the systems they need to really fight, including those jets out of Poland, they're basically saying, look, we're telling the Russians we want to go to a negotiated settlement. Right. I don't think Putin wants to go there. And he's actually tying Zelensky's hands. Zelensky, from day one, has been asking for these heavy systems because he knew intuitively. And by the way, every military officer worth their salt would say the same thing. You've got to fight back the Russians' best system, which is their artillery systems. And if you're not really allowing the Ukrainians a chance to win this fight.
All right, General Keith Kellogg, an honest assessment, and we appreciate that very, very much.